It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM The Fan. C. Sparky Fiver with you. Charlie Usen, Chicago Charlie, producing Other Side of the Glass. You just heard that promo. Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express again Sunday after Green Bay and Minnesota. Make the switch right here to 1250 AM The Fan. We eye up the enemy every Friday here on a Football Friday at 3:20. This week, we are joined by Alec Lewis, Vikings beat writer for The Athletic. Alec, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I interned in Milwaukee when I was in college not too long ago. So when you reached out, these are busy days, busy weeks. This is a busy season thus far. But, you know, the Milwaukee relationship that I have, it forced me to respond. So I'm glad to be here.
So, okay, hold on. Where did you go to school?
I went to the University of Missouri, first journalist to ever attend that school. And then my sophomore year of college, the year that the U.S. Open was at Erin Hills,
sure.
I worked for the Journal Sentinel.
Okay.
And was there. So it was fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's good stuff. Good people over there for sure. Okay, so let's talk about this Vikings team so far this year. Obviously, all we read about is how great this Vikings defense is. How great of defense that Brian Flores has designed and made, and how they're getting pressure on the quarterback and so forth. But obviously, from a Packer fan standpoint, and we still don't know if Jordan Love is playing. They listed him as questionable just a little while ago, which is the same thing he was last Friday. So we still have no idea. But Jordan Love last year, facing the first time they got killed, it was probably the low point of the season for the Packers. The second time the Packers played him, Jordan Love seemed to have his way a lot more than he did the first time. So I guess from my perspective, I'm not as worried about it, unless you're going to tell me that this is a completely different looking defense than what he saw last year.
Yeah, this is a completely different defense than what he saw last year. From a personnel perspective, they are very different. They do no longer have Danielle Hunter, who's probably one of the more underrated edge rushers in the NFL, excuse me, but they made it their priority this offseason to take some of the money that had been departed with Daniil and with Kirk Cousins and other veterans over the course of the last couple of years, and they smartly spent that money in free agency on players who Brian Flores and this personnel department identified as good fits for his system. And so they brought in Jonathan Grenard, who's an edge rusher from the Texans, has been one of the top 20 pressure rate guys in the league so far. Andrew Van Ginkle, who might be the best coverage edge rusher in the entire NFL, is kind of like an off-ball linebacker.
Former Badger.
Plays edge rusher. They brought in Blake Cashman at off-ball linebacker. They brought in Stephon Gilmore, Shaq Griffin at cornerback. And then beyond the personnel additions, they have added and infused kind of what Brian Flores did last year with some different coverages, some quarter structures, some different pass rush pressure packages. So yeah, it is. I'm not going to act like they just reinvented the wheel, but it is a different defense entirely than what Jordan Love saw at the end of last year. And I do want to add, I think some of how the defense has transitioned is literally a direct tie to how Jordan Love and the Packers kind of beat them at the end of last year.
The one guy that I think the Packers can take advantage of and pick on, if I was Jordan Love or Malik Willis, I guess, wherever I see Byron Murphy, that's where I'd like to throw the football at, if at all possible, because I feel like he might be one of the weak links on that defense.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I would also say, like, and I'm going to sound very, I guess I'm sounding very purple Vikings.
Well, you cover him. That's fine. Go ahead.
Right. But I don't want it to sound that way, but I will say, like, it is not as if it's funny because after last year, one of the popular like talker narratives from coaching from some of the coaches here was like, yeah, we're going to play more man coverage. Well, like they're not really playing that much more man coverage. It's more zone, some different zone structures that, while yes, like the cornerbacks are definitely gettable, it's more instead of the specific cornerbacks, like Byron Murphy's been dinged from a PFF perspective and stuff, but a lot of it is just passes that have ended up in swaths of grass that are kind of nearby him. And there are areas on this defense and pockets of space that you can attack. The problem is, and the hard part for these opposing quarterbacks is, like, you're faced with such mental pressure pre-snap and post-snap that finding that space is not as easy as you would think, like with the clicker just watching the film back.
So as you watch this defense, is the only way to really beat this defense is to figure out how to establish a ground game?
That's a huge aspect of it to me. I mean, that would be a great place to start, because right now opponents are averaging like the second longest third down distance against the Vikings in the NFL, meaning the Vikings are doing a really good job on early downs and forcing opposing offenses into really tough situations on third down. And so, yeah, running the football well is a key aspect of that. And I mean, just watching some of the Packers film the last few weeks and talking to certain people around here, like Matt LaFleur, I mean, the respect that Brian Flores talked about earlier this week, it was not just a comment that he made. I genuinely think Brian Flores and this defensive personnel even feel very strongly that the Packers are going to provide a pretty tough test with the amount of motion and the offensive design. And some of that might even go back to when in 2018, when Brian Flores was the de facto defensive coordinator in New England, Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, and with Marcus Mariota, they beat the Patriots 34-10. And so that, I can imagine, sticks in Brian Flores' memory pretty good as he faces LaFleur each and every time.
Well, the other part about this is, and we played that Brian Flores talking about LaFleur on our show earlier in the week when he said it, is the idea of, and Matt LaFleur is not saying no to it, he's not saying yes, he's just not wanting to talk about it, because it's been brought up by the media, which is, well, are you going to have packages for Malik Willis if Jordan Love is healthy and playing? Like, are you going to run Malik Willis still out there? And he don't want to talk about it. But that would also add something else that nobody has on film against this Packers team, because they've never had anybody like this.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, as it just like a football viewer, like I don't know why they wouldn't do that. I don't know why
I wouldn't.
I mean, you're not only, I mean, he obviously proven that he can throw the ball, but like from a run game aspect, I mean, the quarterback run game just adds another dimension of what a defense has.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To figure out and plan for and to do that on the fly in game, I mean, that is a test. So I fully expect, even if Jordan Love plays in this game, which I kind of think he will, I expect to see Malik Willis as well, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Vikings do too.
I don't want him out there at all. I'm not. This is my thing. I didn't like it in New Orleans when they pulled Drew Brees off the field, and I'm not going to like it here. Your best player on the entire football team is your quarterback, Jordan Love. Like, I hate that whole idea. And God help everybody, Alec Lewis, if Jordan Love is trying to throw a block from Malik Willis around a corner and gets hurt. And then I'm really going to lose my mind.
Well, I like your passion with it. I really do. I mean, I would say I don't know. Like, I don't fully, because I'm not in these really, like, I don't know how much of a stress it would provide for the opposing team to potentially add packages like that. And you don't want to mess with the rhythm, but I guess one of my questions, if Jordan Love does play, is like, is he fully healthy? And if he's not, is it really smart to put him back there against a defense that, I mean, like, they're going to make him move around? I think one of the ways that this defense can be beat is if the quarterback can do, in some ways, what Jordan Love has been has proven to do, which is, like, drift back maybe a little unconventionally and then beat him over the top just by extending plays. And if he doesn't have that skill set, then I don't know. I think I'd be hesitant to throw him into this fire. And you can ask C.J. Stroud and Brock Purdy, and they will probably confirm it is kind of a fire.
Yeah, I think they would. I'm going to get way off topic here if we start talking about Brock Purdy. So let's stay on topic with the Packers. All right, so Packers-Vikings Sunday. We talked about their defense versus the Packers offense. I've said all week that, okay, I understand Sam Darnold is playing well, but there are not many Geno Smith stories out there where they're bad for a long time and all of a sudden find some magic water and then all of a sudden are really good for a stretch period of time. Normally, it's more like, oh, look, Nick Foles was really good for a small sample size. Yeah, they won a Super Bowl, and then he went back to being Nick Foles again. I firmly expect at some point here Sam Darnold to go back to being Sam Darnold, whether it's this week or later. How much is everybody buying into Sam Darnold being the guy in Minnesota going forward?
Well, I mean, I guess the guy is kind of an interesting question. Like, the guy for this week, the guy for this season.
The guy to win a division with this year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't – in terms of buying in, I mean, the way I'd say it's like it is a week-to-week evaluation. There have been plays in all three of their first three games where – you know, he's come close to turning the ball over that would put the Vikings in a suboptimal situation. And I will also say he's only thrown two passes this year while trailing, and that was in the first quarter of the first game against the New York Giants. So, like, earlier this week, Bill Belichick said on one of his shows, he said, like, they have to prove it from behind. And I don't think that's a bad thing to say. I think that's reality. But I also kind of laugh a little bit at the, like, will he go back to being Sam Darnold? Because going back to being Sam Darnold in New York would be being in Sam Darnold in New York with that skill play, those skill players, that offensive infrastructure, and at that point of his career. And I will say too, like, if you go back and look at some of the stretches in Carolina, he had good stretches, and even there he was doing it with personnel and an infrastructure and coaching that does not even come close to what he has right now. So I don't think there's even fans here. Like, I don't think there's some grand feeling that, like, he's just going to be absolutely incredible for the rest of the year. I'm sure there's going to be bumps. There's going to be probably some pretty rough turnovers. But in general, the confidence exists because of the skill players around him and the infrastructure from a quarterback development standpoint with Kevin O'Connell and the intentionality of how they construct this offensive system. It's very geared toward putting a guy in a position to be successful.
And obviously the obvious one I have to talk about is Aaron Jones and how much better he makes his Vikings offense versus last year.
Yeah, I mean, he has single-handedly transformed a run game that for 2 years was abysmal. I mean, the first year of Kevin O'Connell's time here in 2022, Dalvin Cook, I believe they had the highest percentage of zero or negative runs in the NFL the Vikings had in 2022. And then last year, they tried Alexander Mattison, and he just was not able to create additional yards. And Aaron Jones has been, I mean, as advertised, beyond belief in terms of his playing ability, his performance, but also what he's meant. I mean, I don't think this Vikings team feels as confident, feels as motivated, feels as just together if they don't have Aaron Jones in this locker room. So, yeah, I mean, it was – Kevin O'Connell joked early in the season, like, when the opportunity to sign him came up, like, I told Aaron, I will drive east to come pick you up if that's what it takes. Like, and that mindset has, I mean, the reason you would feel that way is on display every Sunday. So he's been phenomenal.
All right. So your pick for the game, where are we going with, Alec?
Yeah, I might be too close to it. I said this last week on NFL NFL radio or whatever on Sirius. Those two guys on there picked the Texans, and I picked the Vikings, and I felt bad doing it, but I'm gonna take the Vikings In this one, I think the score, I think it might be somewhat high scoring. Both offenses are explosive. So I said like 31-27. I'm a terrible predictor. And if the Vikings get smashed, then people can laugh at me and they probably should. I'm totally okay with that. But this Vikings offense this week, getting Jordan Addison back with the ascent and a certain kind of play of Jalen Naylor at receiver, and the Packers having to stop Aaron Jones in the run game and then stop those three guys in the passing game. I don't know. To me, it's going to be tough.
Follow him on Twitter at Alec_Lewis. Alec_Lewis does a great job. Vikings beat writer for The Athletic, has some Milwaukee ties, as we talked about earlier. Alec, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get to do this again next time they play.
Yeah, next time let me know. I'd like to hear your Brock Purdy takes, because you seem pretty fired up, and I kind of enjoyed. There was like a road that you stopped the car. You were going down it, and I was kind of here for the ride. I was looking forward to seeing it. So I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, buddy, take care. There he is, Alec Lewis, Vikings beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Alec_Lewis.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.